This Thanksgiving weekend, we want to take a look at an opera with a decidedly new take on the story of the settling of America. It's called Sweetland, as in Sweet Land of Liberty. But there's nothing sugary or predictable about it. This show is unorthodox, abstract, and often challenging. This is the scene called Feast One.
My family thanks you for coming to this feast. My people thank you for sharing what we eat.
Sweetland was created by The Industry, a Los Angeles-based experimental opera company. Indigenous and non-indigenous artists collaborated on the score and the libretto. And the performances challenged the audiences. It was presented outdoors at the Los Angeles State Historical Park in early 2020. And opera goers had to pick one of two stories to follow for the entire evening. Earlier this fall, a recording of Sweetland was released as an album, and the New York Times called it a phantasmagoric abstraction of American history, and named it one of the five classical albums to hear right now. Sweetland's libretto was written by Aja Kujwa Duncan and Douglas Kearney. The score was composed by Raven Chacon and Du Young. And joining us now is one of the opera's composers, Raven Chacon. Welcome.
Thank you, Scott.
And Aja Kujwa Duncan. Aja, welcome to you also.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Aja, if I can start with you, Sweetland was inspired by a request to mark the 400th anniversary of the landing at Plymouth Rock. What's fascinating is there are two tracks to this. So explain, Aja, a little bit about the two tracks and what the audience members see.
Sure. Well, there's sort of an evolution. The inception for bringing the four of us together, Raven and Duyan and Douglas and myself, was a request around a sort of reimagining of the first Thanksgiving. And it was unwritable because it's not the first Thanksgiving. It was actually a massacre in the 1600s. So it wasn't something that we could create narrative towards. So we ended up landing on two sort of essential aspects of contact, I guess you could say, and then expansion. So Feast was one of the tracks. That story is about folks arriving in a place that is inhabited and some of what happens in that engagement. And then Train is a lot about the movement, you know, Western expansion and the bodies and lands that were brutalized in that process of stitching across the continent.
Raven, some of the audience members see Fee, some of them see Train. Is that right? I mean, what message are you trying to send with these separate storytelling?
Well, it's a bit of a way that the industry opera company has worked in the past, these very nonlinear productions, you know, where the audience might see one part of the opera and not see another. And so, we get asked this quite often, why displace the audience? And
yeah.
And we have to think, well, you know, all of the native people were displaced in the founding of this country. And so, you know, what can we say by gesturing towards that with the very form of the opera? But at the same time, you come back together in what culminates in the end of the opera being everybody realizing they are in the same place, still in the United States, and witnessing history as it's happening now.
They said we never be true Americans, too dark, too poor, too tied to
our. such an ambitious set of storytelling. There are hosts and arrivals, and I guess we can kind of infer who is who here, but how do the hosts and the arrivals interact, Raven?
Well, a bit of work inside of this was to try to imagine what this early encounter was. And of course, there's been a lot of encounters. We're initially, you know, one is led to believe that we're talking about the first Thanksgiving, the encounter at Plymouth Rock. But what Sweetland does is talk about all of the other encounters that also happened in the United States. You know, in the Southwest, there was an encounter with the Spanish. And so we try to take an account, you know, what might have happened? Was there any misunderstandings? Was there any conflict of worldview? And of course, you know, we believe there was. And so that's what we try to replicate in this first scene that everybody sees before they get divided onto the separate tracks.
Now, the term mythology comes up a lot in the telling of the story. Aja, of course, there's the historical mythology of Thanksgiving, and then the need to construct new mythologies. I've heard that the director and other participants describe this as constructing new mythologies. What does that mean?
For us, it was, you know, like we did it, it wasn't intentionally like a didactic telling. And as Raven mentioned, like there are many, many different stories of how colonialism happened in the Americas. But what we could do was play with what happens when there is an engagement with people of very different worldviews, and what happens when, you know, in particular, something that might be offered or shared is no longer sort of received as sharing, but is much more about like, this is mine, not yours.
Raven, let me ask you that same question, your thoughts on constructing new mythologies and why that's important.
Yeah, you know, a big motivation was for this opera was thinking, what were we taught in school about American history and mm-hmm. about these early encounters? And when we really started to think about that, we started realizing how much of our children got the wrong story or got a very sugar-coated story. And when I say our children, of course, Native children, but any child living in the United States is getting fed this story. Mm-hmm. And So why put it in the realm of mythology? I mean, as Aja said, we don't know exactly what happened in each of these situations. Also, to tell that story in a very short time, we have an obligation to tell the story that happened to a lot of people, but try to condense it into a bit of a summary with this opera. But at the same time, we're also not necessarily talking about history. We're talking mm-hmm. about something that happened, the violence that happened, but it's ongoing. There's artifacts of these encounters that are still resonating today.
Now in sweet life. Whiteness is the only thing that protects us.
Well, it is such a unique set of sounds, the voices, the music. For some, of course, this can be a challenging piece of music and a challenging performance to try to understand. What do you want listeners to take away from it?
I think that if folks feel vaguely distressed, that would be a good thing. I think, you know, the music is gorgeous and scary and visceral. And I think unlike sort of the purpose of like the Thanksgiving mythology, which is to make people feel comfortable, right? Like everything's over. It was a gift. You know, there's no problem here. I think Sweetland left, you know, I think all of it. I think, you know, the language of music, the staging as it was done in Los Angeles, like it's disturbing in a way that's not intended to scare anybody, but might cause folks to wonder if in fact some of the things that they hadn't interrogated might necessitate a little bit more reflection.
And Raven, what about you? What do you want people to take away from this?
The same. You know, I want them to be able, of course, to follow the story inside of this, but I want them to be aware of all of the dissonances that are happening inside mm-hmm. of it. You know, they're not randomly placed. They truly are these encounters and you know, represented through tones and sonorities that might be in conflict and contrast, but very much those represent this disruption. And it's been described a bit as a kind of, you know, nightmare. You know, you can't quite grasp on to imagery or time when you're having a nightmare. You're just kind of going all the way through it until you get to the other side. And that's, I think, what we were trying to go after with a lot of the tone of this piece.
We've been speaking about the opera Sweetland with Raven Chacon, one of the composers, and Aja Kujwa Duncan, who co-wrote the libretto. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.